I'm Vincent Ackery, and you're watching the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast, covering monster trucks on the West Coast, far and wide. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I'm your host, Vincent Ackard, alongside MJ Solorio. Welcome. I want to thank everyone for coming out. This is the first ever podcast we're doing, and we have our special guest, Jeff Souza. We're going to bring him on shortly. But MJ, how are you feeling right now?
I'm doing good, man. How's your week been?
You know, I've been great, man. You know, sipping on my Raise Energy really keeps you hydrated and ready to go every time I'm out and about. So, definitely a great drink. And speaking of drinks, let's go into some of our sponsors. We have one of them being Rogue Energy. We're going to play that video now. You know, tell us a little bit about Rogue Energy. I know you've been sipping on some as well there, MJ. So yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Rogue, it's actually a supplement. It's meant to enhance your focus, and it's, you know, it's like an, it's also kind of an energy drink at the same time. Tastes amazing. You know, I'm actually drinking on the blue raspberry right now, and honestly, probably one of the best tasting drinks I've had. And I feel like it hit me a little harder than like a Monster or Red Bull has. But all 18 of the active ingredients in that drink, they're awesome. You know, they're all working to keep you focused and get you that energy that you need. Don't forget, you guys, we do have a promo code. Use it. It's you guys see it down there at the screen. It's MTOutlaws10. Use that at checkout to get 10% off your purchase.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, Rogue, it's a great sponsor. We're happy to have them on. But, you know, we're all about supporting West Coast Monster Trucks, whether that be minis, you know, announcing. We're here to promote West Coast Monster Trucks in general. You know, speaking about that, you know, another mini monster, I guess, sponsor you can call them, Warhead. So let's check out some of their merchandise.
Hey, guys. Mason here, driver of the Warhead. Come check out our full merchandise line. We have merch for everybody.
T-shirts, hats, hoodies, you name it. You know, go check out their merch, and, you know, I know I'm going to buy some great merchandise and great product.
Yeah, so I got a couple of merch items myself. I think I got a crew shirt, and then I have a sweater. I got some stickers. I got some of that stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, you know, Mason Minner, driver of the Warhead, you know, that kid's always sitting in that truck. Definitely has balls of steel whenever he's on the track. So, you know, without further ado, let's bring on our first ever guest of the podcast, Jeff Souza. Jeff, welcome on the podcast.
Hey. What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Right on.
So what is Jeff Souza doing during quarantine?
Going crazy. I'm going crazy, man. It's been tough. We had a lot of good things scheduled. We had big things for Hunter, especially, that I'm really bummed about. Work was even slow. But things are picking up, I think, work-wise. But monster truck-wise, man, I need some throttle therapy. I need to go out and just land upside down, I think, or something. Whether it's for Tony or Mike and Paul, I'm pretty sure I'm going to piss someone off.
That always seems to happen no matter
what. Yeah, it does. But you know what, it you know, like, we always do that stuff for the fans, but I mean, man, I feel bad for the fans right now. I mean, there's a lot of fans that had tickets for you know, whether it was big stadium shows or whether it was small hometown. I mean, we just missed one of our shows here at home, so it's a bummer, man. I feel bad for everybody, including not just us drivers, but little kids, grown-ups, it doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter. That's one thing about monster. It doesn't matter how old you are. I think everybody, if you got the bug, man, if you got the disease, I always say it's like getting behind a wheel. It's like a bad drug or a good drug, I guess.
You know, you're talking about, you know, your hometown. You just missed your hometown show. Let's talk a little bit about Turlock. You know, what is your favorite moment, you know, from driving in Turlock? You know, you've driven there many times. What moment stands out in your career?
I would have to say the fact that me and Hunter both got to drive there. I mean, we both did multiple shows. I don't even know how many. But my daughter did the tough truck there. She's done mud bogs there, and she did the tough truck. So all within the same week, I want to say it was our fair. Or it might have been one of the May or October shows. I'm not sure which one it was. But Cheyenne ended up rolling the Razor. She had fastest time going, too. It was like the second show. I think Hunter drove it the night before or something. Anyways, when she rolled the announcer, which I believe it was, I think Rat was the one that was announcing that, and he made a big deal about it that, you know, there's probably no other family with three people that have rolled. We're all three, you know, father, son, daughter, whatever it may be. We're all three of them have rolled in the same arena. And just getting to do the show, all three of us in a show at our hometown, that's pretty cool, just because of family coming out and whatnot. But, yeah, I think – me and Hunter being able to do what we did together, me going out after him, and now that he's in a full size, I mean, I can't wait to race him. Not looking forward, maybe him winning somehow magically, or if I get a.
Looks like we lost Jeff for a second there. I don't know what happened. MG, I think you're going to need to shoot him a text.
I think he disconnected.
You know, his video froze for a second. We're going to keep the show rolling. You know, I mean, I don't know what happened to Jeff. I think he has some connection issues. We're going to get him back on the stream very shortly. But, you know, like Jeff was saying, you know, his daughter driving the Razor, you know, she's ripping that thing around. And then, of course, Hunter. Hunter started out, you know, in the Mini Monster. And, you know, seeing Hunter progress into what he is now, driving the full size, it really shows how, you know, the skill he had in the Mini Monsters comes over into the full-size trucks. As I remember talking to Jeff about seeing Hunter drive in the in-cab footage, you know, Hunter drives just like his dad, and it was kind of cool seeing him and Tucson in a full-size truck, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he learned. I'm pretty sure he's learned a lot of that from Jeff. There's no doubt about that, just because he's been around it for so long. But I just got a text from Jeff. He's trying to join back in right now, so we'll try and get Jeff back in shortly, guys. But in the meantime,
let's answer some questions. Yeah, let's. Why not? So if you guys have any questions regarding the podcast or even Jeff Souza, we'll do our best to answer them right now. We should be back with Jeff here in a few moments. You know, it's so happens when you're doing it live. You know, things like this can happen, but it's all good. We're gonna keep on and keep the show rolling.
So we got a comment here from Tommy. He says, "What's your favorite drink?"
I think that is self-explanatory right here. I had to go with Ray's Energy. You know, Ray's Energy. I got the, you know, Baja Lime flavor. You know, I love Baja Blast, the Mountain Dew Baja Blast, and this tastes just like it. So I got to go with Ray's Energy. Great product. You guys should check it out and purchase it. MJ, what about you?
Honestly, right now, I'm kind of addicted to this new Red Bull flavor I tried. I think it's like coconut berry or something like that. But honestly, I think I'm slowly but surely making my way over to Rogue. This I've only tried one flavor so far, but this flavor, man, it kicks. It really hits hard.
Oh, for sure. And you know, if we have any more questions, we'll answer them while we wait for Jeff to join. And Mason Paul says, "I'm a fan of water personally. You know, that's the healthy choice. So I gotta agree great with choice. You, Mason. Yeah, water's the way to go."
Yeah, well, Jeff, his computer ended up freezing up on him, so he's restarting. So we're on standby for Jeff right now. But yeah, if you guys have any more questions, please leave them down in the comments. We'll make sure to get to those.
You know, actually, we had a little moment before the podcast.
Don't.
My good old buddy MJ. Don't. You know, messing around. He's got a new microphone, and
don't.
He was. I don't know. I think I should show him.
I think we wait till the end of the show. See who sticks around to see it.
Nah, man. I think it's time to show these people some bloopers. But this is what.
Before that happens, we got one more.
No, we're Cameron not. We're Miguez not. No, says, no.
What is Captain Cameron Coke?
Oh, there you go. There's that too.
Oh, there we go. We got him.
Okay.
Back. Here we go.
Well, Jeff saved you there because now Thank we can't God. Play the video. Save Welcome back, God. Jeff.
How you guys doing, man? Sorry about that. I don't know what
no
the
worries.
Deal was.
No worries, but we're talking about Turlock and your favorite moment. You know, you've been there almost your whole career. You know, Hunter and your daughter is stepping up, driving these trucks. You know, let's talk about your favorite moment.
Yeah, it's got to be just when both of us or all three of us are doing a show together. It puts a lot of pressure on me because I'm worried about Hunter because he usually ends up upside down. Cheyenne now has went upside down too. So I would have to say just, I get enough adrenaline out of driving the trucks. I don't know if it's ever enough, but having my kids there, watching them do it too, man, I get off on that. It's like a whole nother high, especially like now that Hunter's in a full size. It definitely, it's awesome. But seeing my daughter do it, I honestly didn't know if she had it in her to be able to drive like that. When she was upside down, I ran up to her. She was so pumped. She couldn't wait to get out of there, not because she was scared, but because she was just, I think she wanted to just get out and throw her helmet or something. So it, Turlock's always fun. A lot of good people, a lot of good friends. I made a lot of friends because of monster trucks and a lot more around our town, hometown as well.
Oh, for sure.
So what was your initial gut reaction once you saw her hit that and go over? What, you know, other than just like, oh crap, like just book it out there. What were you feeling in that moment?
Dollars leaving my wallet. Yes. I didn't care about the race. She was in a racer at the time. It was more concerned. I didn't know how she was going to take it. I didn't know if she was going to flip out, if she was, you know, when I land upside down, I think I get even more hyper. I have a hard time getting out if I'm all jacked up and stuff. That's adrenaline. She had that. Yeah. Which tells me she's not scared. You know, I think we could even try putting her in a truck and I think she would, you know, prevail at it.
That's awesome. We got one comment here from, I think a guy we both know pretty well, Mr. Chase. He says, actually, that's not the right one. He says, this guy. He said, Jeff is the cutest guy in monster trucks. What do you got to say about that one?
Well, I guess I do get that every now and then. Kind of weird coming from a guy like Chase. But what am I supposed to say to that? What can I say to that?
Chase, man, you gotta step it up, man.
Come on, Chase. I'm disappointed in you.
We got a couple more comments for Jeff. We got one from Travis Palm. He says, what's your favorite truck to drive?
You know, I've been fortunate enough to drive basically for four different teams, you know, starting with Jimmy with Iron Outlaw, drove Bounty, drove for Tony Canedo, obviously, with Enforcer, Detour and Wildflower for Kelvin, and then now with Mike and Paul with Kamikaze. I don't know that I can say I have a favorite. I will say that, you know, I've been with Tony the longest. I think it's been 5 years, 4.5 years driving for Tony. And I've gotten Enforcer figured out, I think, finally. That's a hard truck to drive. I have a lot of fun with Tony, but if I had to build the truck, and it was going to be a build the truck around me, it would have to be Kamikaze. I mean, Paul's a tall guy, so I fit right in the truck. We actually have to make a couple adjustments for me. And the cool thing about driving that truck is it's pretty much green light and go. I mean, you know, he's got a name to keep up, and it's kind of no different than driving a Bounty or if you're in a Digger or something like that. I think it's go out there and I've been very lucky and very fortunate to get the opportunity to drive that truck. So I can't really pick a favorite. I will just say that I think that truck with my driving style and the way I want to drive, I want to drive hard, I want to drive fast, I want a lot of momentum. I would definitely say Kamikaze.
Awesome. So what is that like going, you know, say one weekend you're an Enforcer, and the next weekend you jump in Paul's truck. So what is that transition like for you? You know, is it different?
Yeah, it's very different. It's a newer truck. Kamikaze is a newer truck. It's pretty much, there's a little more power there, a different kind of shock setup, even more pressure. Enforcer, I'm going to back up to that last question. If I had to say favorite truck, as far as driving, I think Kamikaze and I get along really well. I think that's the way I want to drive, is the way that truck's meant to drive. But as far as like fans go, man, you can't beat being an Enforcer. Being a cop around the kids for the fans and stuff like that, and that's really what it's all about. That's a lot of fun. And Tony and I, when we do the chase, that's a lot of fun as well. A couple times I've almost landed on the back of them. But going from truck to truck, it is a chore. I mean, but if you're a driver, you've got to be able to step up and figure it out. And unfortunately, we usually only have that first turn down at the end there to figure it out, and then hopefully not put it upside down.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to be a regular question we're going to ask on the podcast. What is your go-to restaurant when you're on the road? What is somewhere you want to go after, you know, driving that Enforcer truck? After the show, what's your go-to restaurant?
Go-to restaurant. So after the show, not during the day for lunch? Because West Coast is going to be in and out for lunch.
Yep.
And unfortunately, if we get to eat dinner or eat after a show, which depends on the show. Man, I'm going to tell you, some of my greatest times are at an Applebee's with Jimmy Creedon. If the truck's already loaded in the trailer, because then he's actually in a good mood. Those of you that know Jimmy, that's about the only thing that's open late. So I guess that's my only option, unless we do a drive through of Taco Bell or something.
You know, speaking about Applebee's, I know someone who's a big fan of Applebee's. Let's bring him on. He's got his own portion of the show, Phil Vicinanza, and his portion of the show called Philosophy. Phil, welcome aboard. You know,
what is up?
He's known as the Stat Man. And Phil, let's go over the timeline of Jeff Souza throughout his career. What are the trucks he's driven and his, you know, career highlights?
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always great to be here, and especially to talk with someone like Jeff. I've had the pleasure of seeing him drive many different trucks, many different places over the years. And, you know, any chance I get, when people ask, you know, who's an underrated driver, Jeff Souza is always at the top of my list. I've seen him in so much different equipment and different opportunities. And any chance I could push Jeff, I make sure that everybody knows what Jeff's capable of.
I appreciate that, Phil. What's that going to cost me?
Checks in the mail, my friend. Don't worry about it.
Awesome.
So a lot of our listeners, especially those on the West Coast, they have definitely seen you drive an Enforcer all around California and some of the other Western states. But one thing that they may not know is how did you get involved with Monster Trucks? What got Jeff to the show and behind the wheel of a Monster Truck?
So I'll try to make this long story as short as possible. I want to say it was 2011. Hunter comes home. My son comes home from school one day and says, "Dad, my girlfriend's dad's a monster truck driver." And this is God honest truth right here, the way the story went. And I said, "Yeah, right, whatever. You know, go find out what truck he drives." He comes back the next day, and keep in mind, Hunter's like, I don't know, third grade or something like that. He says she says he drives Bounty Hunter. I said, "All right, well, you go tell your girlfriend that your dad drives Gravedigger," because I didn't believe a word of it. Well, come to find out, that guy really did drive Bounty Hunter, and he drove for Jimmy. It was Russ Steely, and we used to be pretty good friends. Don't really see each other anymore, but he so anyways, it wasn't long after that. Jimmy was on the West Coast, or at least the trucks were on the West Coast. So the trucks came to my house. I've got a shop, so the trucks get put in the shop. And I ain't gonna lie, man, I was, whatever, 31, 32, whatever I was, and I was like a little kid in a candy store. It's like a little kid playing with the Hot Wheels cars. I was out there in the shop. I don't think I really slept that night. I was walking around them, I was all over them trucks, fingerprints everywhere, trying to figure them out. Went to a show, crewed, you know, then I started doing stuff with Jim whenever he was on the West Coast. And I don't know, it probably took a year and a half or so, just kind of just here and there. I mean, fan, groupie, whatever, just free help going and wrenching and learning as much as I could about the trucks. And finally one day I got my chance to drive, and I knew it, man. It was like an Eminem song. It's like, I'm only going to give one shot. I better not screw this up. And I was fortunate enough to not mess that up and then keep getting opportunities that I've gotten since then.
Absolutely. You kicked the door down. You got that driving opportunity. Like you said, you met Jimmy Creighton, and you got driving opportunities in some of the trucks such as Iron Outlaw, Team Survivor, and Red Baron. You also had a run in Darren Miguez's Get Her Done truck before he changed the identities on those trucks. But maybe the big coming out party for Jeff Souza is when you got the chance to drive Detour in Monster Jam in 2015. Your first ever Monster Jam event was at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, California. You make the top eight in racing. That was back when not all the trucks raced, so you were one of the fastest eight qualifiers. You're lined up against Bounty Hunter in the first round, and you beat Bounty Hunter. And then you go into the semifinals, and you come up short against Adam Anderson, the legend. What's going through your mind there? You know, you really started from the bottom of the sport, and now all of a sudden you're in Angel Stadium competing against the best.
Phil, I love the story, and I'm so glad you brought it up and not me. Because if Jimmy's watching this, he's gonna be like, "Dang it, Souza." So yes, I line up against Jim. I think I was like sixth fastest qualifier. First time in the truck. Hell, the night before when we practiced, the rear steer went the opposite way of what I'm used to. So anyways, I line up against Jim. I beat him. Yeah, he'll probably tell you he had rear steer issues or something. I don't remember what the deal was, but anyways, yeah, I beat him. Then I line up against Adam, and here, I mean, I'm just like, "Holy crap, what the hell? I can't believe this." And well, let me back up. As I came into that stadium, as we did intros, and we come out hot, they turned the lights off and everything. I remember I made, you know, it's like a square. We're basically coming out there hot, making turn, you know, making right-hand turns. And I don't know, it's like the second turn, whenever you look up and you see the Jumbotron, and just weird luck, man. I look up and there's my dumb face on this Jumbotron, realize, man, there's like 50,000 people here, whatever. And all I can think is, "Mom, I made the big screen, and I'm not on like 5 o'clock news in trouble, right? I didn't do anything wrong." So I raced Jim, beat him, raced Adam, and I pop a motor. I blow a motor. So in the first night, you know, first time with Kelvin, I'm thinking, I'm fired. At least I drove myself. I don't have to worry about, you know, walking home. And Kelvin just got a big old smile on his face because I beat Jimmy. So he's happy about it, you know. We go to dinner at Hooters. Another good place to go to dinner after a show. We go to dinner, and Creighton's giving Kelvin a hard time. Like, man, he's sitting there telling Kelvin, "I sure am glad you took Souza over, man. I can't afford him." And he's just razzing me really hard, and I'm like, I feel like crap. So I just popped in a motor. I don't really know what Kelvin thinks. I've heard, you know, you hear stories about how guys get, you know, when you do stuff like that. Not that it was my fault. It just things happen, whatever. I still had oil pressure, whatever. And I couldn't take it anymore. So finally I told Jim, "You were right, man." I did. I popped a motor. I go, "But, man, Jim, tonight I won my first race in Monster Jam." I go, "You know who I beat to do that?" And for a split second there, Jim forgot. Jim looked at me like, "Huh?" I said, "You." And, man, his jaw dropped, and Kelvin started laughing, and it's been downhill ever since. It's been fun ever since. It really has. And I love giving Jim a hard time, telling him the first time I ever won a race was against you. So now every time I do beat him, you know, when I'm fortunate enough to get to do a show with him still, and we love razzing each other. It's fun. I cannot, because Jim hates to lose, and so I have to. If I win, and I don't care what the technicality is, a win's a win. I got to give Jimmy a hard time.
Definitely. And the amount of drivers that go through to Extreme Racing throughout the season, it's always important to get the last lap over on the boss man.
Definitely.
Well, you definitely got the last lap there in your first outing. You had 8 weekends driving the Detour in your rookie campaign. Definitely made a name for yourself. But you were driving a truck that a lot of the fans knew that was Rosalie Raymer's truck. She wasn't old enough to drive Monster Jam at the time. That's why you got the call. So did you see the setup maybe, because I know you've had a run also at as Wildflower. Do you notice any different setups between when Rosalie drives a truck compared to when you're driving it?
No, and nor do – I don't think there's a different setup, nor is there any different rules. I mean, Kelvin wants me to go out and make a name for myself, but continue with the name. I'm frozen again. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but you're okay, frozen.
You can hear me? All right. I don't know. I'll finish this while I'm working on this. But basically, when I drove for Kelvin, it's funny story about him, too, is he always told me, like, if I knocked a spindle off or if I did something, the answer to the question usually was, or the answer to the problem was, I didn't go hard enough. And, if you hit that harder, you would have cleared that and you wouldn't have broke, So it's with Kelvin, it was never, you got to take it easy. This is Rose's truck or nothing like that. No, he wanted whether I was Detour or Wild.
Oh, looks like Jeff had some connection issues.
I'm sure we'll have Jeff back on again.
For sure.
You said earlier. That's the beauty of live broadcast.
For sure. When we're doing it live, it happens. So, Phil, you're like an encyclopedia, man. You have so many stories. Let's hear your number one Jeff Souza story.
Oh man, well, that was kind of be my next question. Like I said, I've had the pleasure of seeing Jeff drive many different trucks in many different disciplines, and when I saw him in 2017, that was my first year on tour with Monster Jam. It was our season finale event. He was up in Oakland with us driving Iron Outlaw. He was there as a fill-in, and it was a big opportunity for Jeff. It was a TV event for FS1 at the time, and Jeff gets to come in and drive Iron Outlaw. So it's kind of cool. He kind of got the one-upship on Jimmy Kareen a few years back, and now he gets to drive Jimmy's truck again on a big stage. And I tell you, that truck was running very well the entire 2017 campaign. But when Jeff got in the truck, it was just like a madman was in there that was just wanting to prove a point. It's like he knew that this event was on TV and a lot of eyes would be looking at Jeff. And I think he came in third place that night in freestyle, and it was just – It was really cool because it's a lot of the Monster Jam staff there. They didn't know who Jeff was. They just knew that he was somebody kind of around the West Coast that helped out with Jimmy. And they didn't have like the tape of knowledge on his driving ability. So when he went out there and he put on a great freestyle and filled the clock, and I think he did finish on the podium, it really made a statement that, Jeff Souza was a great driver. That's why I always pin back to that moment and that freestyle, especially as Jeff's a very underrated talent. If you give him the keys and the right floor space, you'll have a great performance out of him.
And Jeff's back, and here he is for the second time.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm blow the motor in this computer before I'm done with this. What freestyle are you talking about there, Phil?
I was just talking about when you're out in Oakland in 2017 driving Iron Outlaw.
Yeah, when I filled in for Mike, yeah. That was fun. That was kind of a stressful deal there just because of it all happened so fast, the situation with Mike having to leave, and then Trent flew in, me and Trent filled in. But the truck ran good. We got the truck dialed in, truck ran good. Looking back on that, I wish I'd have went a little bit harder, actually. But, I knew I was an outlaw, in the truck that not really supposed to go upside down or anything too stupid in. Definitely didn't want to ruin that body. That was a nice body, too. And it's always nice to get an attaboy or a good job when you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just telling everybody, I think you finished third in freestyle that night, and that was an event that was filmed for TV. So it was definitely a big opportunity for you to show people all around the world what your driving abilities are made of.
Yeah, it was cool. And listening to Tom. Tom did the announcing on it, and it was cool listening to what he had to say. always fun being around Tom. That's a whole nother story in itself. But I think it was, I don't think it was third. I think it was fourth or fifth place. But it was. I got a good score that night. It was good.
Well, I think I'm sorry, Mike.
No, it wasn't planned.
It was not planned. I'm sorry, Mike.
It wasn't planned, Mike.
I like the color blue, and I like the shirts, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate the shirt. I was going to say the same thing. What the hell, guys? Where'd you guys get to call Mike and get shirts from Mike before this thing happened? I grabbed the first shirt I could see, all right? Should I go put a different one on?
I had to grab this thing from the merch stand because Paul pulled the crew shirts out of the hauler that show.
No, I well, love Mike,
that. You want me to throw on a Vendetta shirt or something?
Yeah, no, well, Jeff, I'd
appreciate that one.
Jeff, you've had a great opportunity driving a lot of different trucks. You got to drive the Bounty Hunter again in 2019, and you also had the chance to drive the Wrecking Machine, which is a name that is definitely near and dear to you and your family. That was the name of your son's mini monster. What kind of goes into the backstory of Wrecking Machine, and how did the real-life monster come about?
Man, I got to thank Mike and Paul for that. I mean, they made it happen. I don't really know how much Mike and Paul talked about it before they brought it up to me, but it was just one of those things, bringing a body, put Hunter's sticker on it, let Hunter get his first shot. It was down in Tucson, which he did. He did great. He killed it. Then he did another show a couple weeks later in Ventura. That's when he rolled over like twice in one day, I think it was. So he's got a thing for ruining bodies. It's something that name is something Hunter came up with. It's all, I mean, he came up with the original design even. And now with what Mike and Paul have done for him, for us, I guess, with the new Wrecking Machine, I mean, it's really too bad Santa Clara didn't happen.
I think you froze on us again, Jeff.
Okay, do you guys want me to punch this TV? Or the computer do what? I'll work on it on my end. But like I was saying, that the Santa Clara show, it's really too bad that didn't happen
And he's gone again.
We lost Jeff, but I think what Jeff was going to be talking about, for those that don't know, Monster Jam was going to be going to Santa Clara in April, as they usually do. And Jeff Souza was going to be on the lineup with the Wrecking Machine. And what Team Throttle Monster did for 2020 is that they built two brand new monster trucks. So their fleet expanded from two trucks to four. The new Wrecking Machine only had one event under its belt before all the major shutdowns happened. David Olfert, otherwise known as Too Tall, drove it. And that was going to be a big moment for Jeff to drive it. I think the Santa Clara event was also going to be broadcaster NBCSN on a later date. He was going to be running alongside of Aaron Kane driving the Rockwell Red Truck. Rockwell Washes is a big partner of Team Throttle Monsters and just another big exposure event. So I think a Wrecking Machine was going to kind of have a new look or updated body style, and that was going to be the big debut for that as well. Hopefully we get Jeff back on there here in a bit, and he can explain a little more on maybe some of the future plans that him and his son Hunter have going for when we have events get back rolling. But I know Santa Clara was definitely going to be a big moment, another big opportunity for Jeff Souza in his career.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I remember looking at the Monster Jam schedule online, and I saw Jeff come up. I was like, that's weird, you know? And I was like, I texted him right away. I was like, hey, dude, you know? I was like, I'm not sure if you knew they announced it yet, but, you know, you're driving to Santa Clara. I was like, confused. And then he told me about it. I was like, yeah. And so I was honestly planning on going to that show. I just go to that show because it's close and it falls around my birthday every year. So I kind of go up there and celebrate. But honestly, because I know they were going to debut Rockwell Red, I believe, with Aaron Kane behind the wheel. But that was honestly going to be such a good show. I was really looking forward to it.
Here we are.
It was either between that show.
And now he's got a kamikaze shirt.
Yeah, I was debating either going to Oakland or Santa Clara, and I kind of wish I would have gone to Oakland, you know, because that was one of the last shows before this whole shutdown.
Well, Jeff, you had a costume change. You jumped in the phone booth during that latest freeze.
We have the black shirts on one side and the blueberries on this side.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I had to switch over to the phone. The computer's stupid.
It happens.
What'd I miss?
Well, we were just talking about the Santa Clara event that unfortunately didn't happen, and the debut of the new Wrecking Machine that happened a couple weeks before, and what will be the future for Wrecking Machine once the shutdowns are all lifted, we have monster truck events again.
Well, I mean, thinking positively that, you know, hey, there's going to actually be a bunch of shows that, towards the end of this year. I think Mike and Paul's plan was to get Hunter in the truck as much as possible. Unfortunately, I probably missed my chance to drive that truck in Santa Clara because now, you know, unless it's a Monster Jam event where you're going to be 18, I think Hunter's going to be driving that truck. And he turns 18 into this year, so maybe even possibly next year, depending on what happens. You guys will be seeing him a lot on not just the West Coast either. They could be traveling all across the country.
You know, talking about
– so what is – sorry, Vince. I don't mean
to you're fine. But,
you know, what is it, what's it like, speaking, you know, talking about Hunter, what's it like seeing Hunter go from being in a mini, going working his way up into a full size? What was it like seeing him hop into the full size for the first time and make his debut in front of an actual crowd at a real show?
Honestly, I was more nervous than he was. I probably drove him crazy, you know, hey, check your belts, check this, check that, don't do this, don't do that. He was like, Dad, I got this, don't worry about it, you know, I'll be fine. And you know, it was I don't think words can explain it. It definitely was something that, I mean, we've been talking about this for a few years, ever since he got in the mini, but, you know, you talk is cheap. You don't know if it's going to really happen. And then watching it happen, man, it was definitely a cool experience. I remember his first freestyle. I mean, he just, you can tell all the training in the mini really helped. I mean, all these kids, Shane Plato and like, oh, dude, little Mace Dog out here on the West Coast, that little dude is going to be something to watch. I don't see that kid lasting much longer in that mini. They're going to have to put him into something bigger, which I'm sure his dad, Mike's got a plan for him. But anyways, yeah, with Hunter, I words just don't explain it. It really doesn't.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we're going to bring on our next guest here in a second. I know you're close with this family. But anyway, let's play the video for our next guest, and we're going to bring him on. So here they are. Where are you from, and what's your name?
I'm from Peoria, Arizona, just outside Phoenix, and I'm Christopher Allen, a.k.a. the Monster Truck Guru. One of the Monster Truck announcers for WGAS, a regional company out here on the West Coast. All up and down California, they do shows. In my final year of high school, a teacher told me, after telling that I wanted to be a Monster Truck announcer when I left high school, and I quote, "Christopher, you will never be an announcer." But that only furthered my motivation to prove her wrong. And in 2016, at age 24 and 8 years after my reporting Monster Blog began, the boyhood dream came true at San Diego County Fair in July 2016, where I accepted the announcer's booth for the very first time.
From Mandalay Bay, California, this guy is celebrating 2 decades of Monster Trucking. He's been in TV shows, commercials, music videos, and he's not done performing yet. Folks, let's make some noise for Rich Watson and the Section!
From Tonganoxie, Kansas, he's running with the big boys at Monster Jam before. He's been honoring the American Sniper Chris Kyle most of the year, and he's the 2005 Monster Jam World Finals Freestyle Champion. You can run, but you can't hide. It's Jim Crean and the Bounty Hunter!
You're looking for Monster Trucking with Jim and Chris, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram for up-to-the-minute Monster Truck news and show coverage all up and down the West Coast, all up, all around California, all over the state of Arizona, Salt Lake City to some extent, and a couple other events as well, like the Bigfoot Open House and the Monster Trucking Hall of Fame Ceremony and all in Indiana every November. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. The name is Monster Trucking with Jim and Chris. Give us a like and a follow for great Monster Truck news and show coverage all year long, all across the West. See you there.
They're a big part of covering the West Coast Monster Truck action. We want to welcome the crew from Monster Trucking with Jim and Chris. Jim and Chris. Welcome, guys. You're a little sideways.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, everyone.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
How you guys doing?
I think there's a slight delay.
Could be. While getting that figured out, we got a couple comments here. This one's from Tommy. This one's for Jeff. He asked, who is the worst driver to deal with?
Not too sure how you're going to go with that one.
Yeah. Who put us into two-wheel mode?
What was the question again, MJ?
It says, from Tommy, he asked, for Jeff, who is the worst driver to deal with?
The worst driver to deal with? Are we talking owners? What are we talking?
I don't know. He said driver, so I don't know.
That's up for you, Jeff.
I can't really.
Come on, Jeff.
When it comes to monster trucks, I really don't want to be negative. I really don't have anything negative to say about it. The guy that beats me in the finals, if I happen to lose, that I don't like that guy very much at that moment. That guy could be a pain. But man, the monster truck, the whole world, the whole industry is just very positive, very fun. Talk about certain things. I know I have. Gosh, ask Tony some stories. Me and Tony went round and round. But I don't really have an answer to that question. There's really nobody negative that I can really say. And you guys know that if people that know me know that I'll say whatever's on my mind, and I really don't have anybody to say.
That is true.
I think we're getting Monster Truck Benjamin Chris situated in a second here. But, you know, do we have any other questions?
I can't hear Vincent. Not sure why.
That's weird. MJ, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, buddy.
Okay. That's weird.
So you guys have to translate whatever Vincent says for me because I can't hear Vincent.
Okay. We got one from Eric Shockey. This one's for you. He says, he's my mentor. Corbin is watching.
I don't know about that. Corbin is me too. They took that truck over for Hunter, and I mean it didn't take him but a few shows, and it was almost like Hunter was driving that truck. So that truck has a special spot in my heart, you know, watching him go, and him and little Mason together. I think they feed off each other. I think they get to talk to each other more than just at the shows. And they do really, really good together. And I mean, Corbin's going to be the kid that everybody's going to be looking up to. I think he's even older than Shane, if I do. I think so. So, I mean, I like talking to Corbin. Corbin's a teachable kid. You can definitely tell him what to do. Hunter was that way, too, and he'll listen. Eric's got a good kid. Eric's a good dad. He tries hard for his kid. So, good family right there. Once again, another good Monster Truck family.
Awesome. I think your buddy Austin Minton has a question for you.
Oh, I can't wait. Says,
when I come to Cali, can we go to La Casa?
Okay. So, favorite places to eat. If we are at home, yes. Las Casas. Everybody knows that place. It's from out of town. They come here. Mexican food. It don't get no better than that right there. So, yes, Austin, get your butt out here to Cali, and we will go as soon as they open back up.
We got another one from Dawson Reyes. He says, what do you think about that kid in Spitfire at the Arizona State Fair last year?
Oh, yeah, the one that hit the barriers.
Who, I don't even remember that. Who was that? Who was driving that?
Dawson was driving it.
That's right. Okay, yeah. I do remember that now. Yeah. Was that the same show that Bill rolled over and almost put it into the wall as well? And
then correct.
That was when I was in Cami and I blew the motor, huh?
Yeah, yep. you're two hit wonder.
Yeah, sorry. You're
quote unquote windowed that motor.
Dude.
And then you drove Wrecking Machine the next night, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and then I hurt that truck too. We had one truck in the trailer, but they were afraid to pull it out. Mike didn't want to work like all week long, 24/7. I don't know, I don't get it.
Anyway, we have Christopher Allen and his father on. Chris, how are you doing?
Thanks again.
Awesome.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
So best we can now that these
internet issues.
Blame it on the corona.
Yeah,
that's the only way to do it.
Corona's taking us out too.
Probably Karen's fault, more than likely.
Yeah, it is Karen. Hear you.
We can't hear you at all.
We've got nothing. We.
Oh, that's too
Let's
bad.
Let's see. We got another one from Travis for Jeff. He says, who is your favorite driver to race against?
Could be.
You guys want me to answer that, or you want to bring Chris and Jim on?
I think we can try and get them on again. Let's see.
We're trying.
The beauties of live broadcasting.
Yep. All right, looks like they got disconnected again. But yeah, let's answer that question.
All right, Travis that one up says, again. Who is your favorite driver to race against?
I love beating Jimmy for some reason. For some reason, when you're racing your teammate too, you know, like when I'm with Mike or Tony, for whatever reason, that's fun too. But I will say my most memorable race would have to be when I was doing Monster Jam in 15, and I think it was in San Diego, and I got to race Dennis. And it was a fun race because we both almost wadded it up. He ended up beating me, but it was a fun race. You know, it was one of those races where you're not supposed to race your opponent. You're supposed to basically just pay attention to what you're doing. And I watched Dennis the whole time, waiting for him to do something crazy or stupid, you know. And instead, I was over there in my lane doing all kinds of dumb stuff. But so that's probably my most memorable. I would love to race, you know, if he was still driving, I'd love to race him again. You know what I mean? Just to say you raced the man, I guess.
Awesome. We got one from Cameron Miguez. He says, do you and Hunter need a crew guy? I've done it once. I think he's looking for a job, Jeff.
Cam Miguez, 2015 Tech of the Year. And I, you know what, that dude right there, if it wasn't for Cam, I mean, Tony and Cam, like Enforcer, Tony and Cam, they, I think it might have been more Cam's idea than Tony's, I'm not sure. I wasn't there for that, but he was a big part of Enforcer and a big part of really some of my success. I know Cam's really helped me out too with talking to Tony for me back when that started. I would take Cam any day over anybody else out there that can wrench or thinks they can wrench. Plus, Cam's kind of fun. He's a good time. Pain in the ass sometimes, but he's a good time.
I think you found yourself a job.
We have another comment from Mason Paul. He says, with Cam on this one, if you need a spare crew or Usher lookalike, let us know. Coming from Mason Paul.
My boy, Mace Dog, Usher lookalike. I mean, I think Usher tries to look like him, be honest with you. That's another good dude right there. Like I said, man, there's I've been so fortunate enough to do this and meet so many cool people, drivers, crew guys, fans, family of drivers, whatnot. Me and Mason got to do we did a show. We drove in the rig from Kansas from Jimmy's to Pennsylvania and then back. And finally, I got to screw with him a little bit, and with the waitress, I'm calling him Usher. I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner, but it took me like the whole trip, like we were on our way back before I realized it. They looked just like Usher. And so, anyways, good dude, good wrench. I can't wait to see where that kid ends up in like another 5 years.
Awesome. I think we got one from Lee Plato. Let's see what he says. He says, I remember seeing tears in Jeff's eyes the first time Hunter drove the Mini. What do you got to say about that one, Jeff?
I'm not surprised.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I've been fortunate enough to my son from coaching baseball, coaching hockey. That kid is so coachable, so teachable, and he listens. And so putting him in something like that, you know, I knew he would do good. I knew the kid can drive. He was brainwashed to do it since he was a little guy. I don't doubt there was tears in my eyes, and I'm not going to lie. Like I said, every time he goes, especially in the full size now, my heart starts pumping for him.
We're going to try one more time to bring on Christopher Allen and Jim. Hey, Chris, can you hear us?
Chris Black is just
Chris, you there?
We can't hear you.
What?
Can you hear us? Oh, well. That's tragic. Yep.
It is.
So we got one from our buddy Mike Menner over the Warhead. He says, I want to know what Jeff tells Mason before his run. I asked Mason, and he told me don't worry about it.
I don't really have anything. It's probably something stupid like go big or go home, or the one on the left don't work as good as the one on the right, or hit it wide open or something. No, I love that little kid because he listens to you when you talk to him. And we do a lot of shows on the West Coast. But, I mean, it's not my money, you know. So if he wads dad's truck up, what do I care, right? As long as the kid doesn't get hurt and the kid's safe, that's all that really matters. But I wouldn't tell any other kid anything that I wouldn't tell my own kid. So.
That's awesome.
And, Phil, let's give Phil some spotlight. I know Phil has a lot of stories. Phil, do you have anything else?
More spotlight. Don't you worry about me. But
do you have anything to add on?
Well, yeah, of course I can add something. You know that. But
that's what I was going for.
We can talk about all these great stories, and I know as a looking from a fan perspective, there's certain stadiums or fairgrounds that whenever the shows or the events are going through them, you always enjoy going. So I wanted to know, do you have a favorite town or a favorite venue, a favorite place where you like to perform?
Obviously hometown's cool. So I get to sleep in my own bed that night. I'm literally not even 10 minutes from the fairgrounds. I would say big stadiums. I was bummed because Santa Clara is like the only stadium that they still do in California that I didn't get to do this year that, we're supposed to do. Oakland, even though Oakland's an old stadium, that's probably my favorite. I don't know, the energy there for me because I'm close to home. I've done pretty good there. Angel Stadium, I love that place. It's cool, but I got like no luck there. I'd have to say either Oakland or hometown, definitely.
Well, another venue you got close to performing in would be out in Salinas. Last year, you were scheduled to drive Jekyll and Hyde, fired up the truck, went out for intros. What happened after that, Jeff?
Another motor lockup. I made it through intros, pulled into park, and I mean, the truck stopped like 5 feet from where I was supposed to stop, and I couldn't hear what was going on with all the other trucks running around, so I waited for everybody else to shut down. And, hit the button, and she don't want to turn over, and come to find out, I think that one threw a rod in intros. So probably the only guy to ever do that in intros there. I like setting records. I like doing things that other people can't do or haven't done. Yeah.
Yeah, because of that's a footnote in my stats. I can't technically count you as a driver of Jekyll and Hyde because you didn't get to compete in the truck. So hopefully I get a chance to represent Team Jekyll and Hyde in the future.
Phil, you got to admit, I look pretty good in intros, though. You got to admit, right?
Jeff, you look good in any truck you're driving. Don't you worry. Don't matter what color or whether or not you fit in the seat or not, any truck you look good in.
I appreciate that.
You're making him blush.
Always trying to make Jeff blush. And, I mentioned the different seats. I know when you drove the wrecking machine out here in Arizona, that seat is not really – I don't know if it really fits you too well, because I know when you're driving Enforcer, that's definitely a truck made for you. And when you're driving Kamikaze, I know you and Paul Jensen are very tall guys. So what was the experience like driving maybe a seat or a truck that just wasn't really built for you?
Wrecking machine, I can't even remember. I know that it was an issue seeing over the windshield net. I don't even know how Hunter drove that truck. Hunter did really good when he drove it. And after I got out of that truck, but I don't know how you did that.
5 seconds.
That truck is it was just all over the place for me. Maybe it's just because I'm used to other trucks. But I've been lucky that every truck I've drove, the owners of the trucks always made sure that I was comfortable. Kelvin was big into that. Tony's big into that. And like you said, Paul, I fit right in his seat. I think I fit in Kamikaze better than Paul does. I'm just saying.
Is that after you move the pedals?
Hey, shut up.
I had to bring that up.
Hey, Chris, you there? Can you hear us now? Still having issues. Try this one more time.
What I hear is a static festival.
Static festival. Well, Jeff, he's wearing the Enforcer Crew shirt. I mean, we got pretty much all the trucks, or some of the trucks you've driven on here. Everyone's wearing Kamikaze shirts, and Chris and his dad's wearing Enforcer.
I appreciate that. I know Tony does, too. Christopher looks good wearing that.
For sure.
We got another one from Lee Plato. Let's see. He says, Jeff just tells Shane to turn the radio off so I can't talk to him.
Man, I can go on and on and on about that one. Yeah, I do tell. Got to show Shane how to unplug it, disconnect it. I might as well kill the kill radio too. But Shane's another one that just tell him go big or go. I think I'm a big momentum guy, so I'm more into go hard and I think you do less damage when you hit things. I shouldn't say it all the time. It hurts when you hit the throttle last minute, go straight up in the air and land on your ass. And that's kind of how Shane was driving a lot. And I think there's a lot of drivers, a lot of us that tried coaching Shane throughout this. And it's neat for us to be able to watch those kids grow and get better.
We have a comment from Dallas Glenn Rogers. He says, Jeff, which do you identify as, Karen or Kyle?
What the hell does that mean? Neither.
Come on, Dallas.
Never know with Dallas Rogers. You know that.
Can't wait to see that guy next time.
Oh, I think we got a one from Cameron talking about Salinas. I guess
he's too
broke the crank on that one.
Too fun to be a Karen.
Oh, that was the crank. That's right. It was, but you know what? It was probably its time. I mean, I remember that now. I believe that motor came out of Don's truck. Yeah, broke the crank. Once again, I don't think it was my fault, guys. I was just doing laps. I mean, laps, whatever they do for intros. I mean, how are you going to blow a motor in intros? So, you know, it's probably my fault somehow, some way, but I'm not going to admit that.
That's funny. Just in intros, you went out and made a lap, and then it just died on you, or?
Built two laps, I think, there that we did. And then, yeah, went back to park, and literally the truck died. Like I said, 5 or 10 feet from where I was going to stop. Rick Swanson was standing right there and kind of looking at me like, what the hell? And I was like, oh. And like I said, I couldn't even hit the starter because I couldn't hear anything. All the other trucks running. And then once everybody shut down, I hit the starter button, and she no move.
Taylor Delaney says, what's up, guys? Is he more proud about his accomplishments or as an underwear model or a monster driver? So Jeff, the underwear model.
Who wrote this?
Taylor Delaney.
Oh, Taylor. Oh, man. I knew this would get brought up. We're just going to leave this one alone. There might be kids watching. All the thunder going on. We'll leave that alone.
We got one from Mike Menner. He wants you to give him your best Jimmy Creighton impersonation.
Oh, I can't do that on this.
Yeah, putting you on the spot.
Kind of putting me on the spot, guys. I mean, yeah, dang it. Why would you do that, Susan? There it is.
At least you didn't say Tony Canedo.
Yeah, at least you didn't bring up Tony's.
That'll be a rough one there. So you guys are trying to probably even get a chance to drive again this year. Come on.
I got another question for you. So in your opinion, what makes this whole entire monster truck industry so special to you and, you know, just anyone in general in the sport?
People, fans. Like people like Jim and Christopher that I've got to meet. I mean, a lot of people know Jim and Christopher, but those of you that don't, you need to, if you're out of the show when he's there, when both those guys are there, especially when Christopher's announcing, they need to go up and they need to talk to him. Just good people. Like I said, I got nothing negative to say. I mean, yeah, I've seen some negative. I've been booed before in Enforcer because we were down by the border, and it was a booed during intros, and I'm pretty sure it was because they don't like the cops there. But other than that, like, I got, like, no negative stuff to say. It's just nothing but good people, good times. I don't do this for a living. I'm very fortunate of that. So, yes, you know, we get paid, but – and I want to succeed. I want the team I'm driving for to succeed. But the Jeff that you guys know, that you guys get to see after the show, it's all fun, man. I just living and just want to have fun. And I get to do that, and I'm very fortunate to get to do that and get to do it with a bunch of great people and for great people as well.
Yeah, and this is like the East Coast. You know, we got a lot of East Coast viewers as well as West Coast viewers. You know, if you're on the East, you come to a show in the West, you know, you'll most likely see Christopher Allen. You know, Chris, he's known as the Monster Truck Guru. He could tell you so much stories. Just if you ever see Chris at a show, go up and talk to him.
We got another question here from Travis Palm for Jeff. He says, what is your recommendation on how to get into the monster truck scene?
I heard nothing after Have I Ever.
MJ, I didn't hear that question. What was it?
Travis says, what is your recommendation on how to get into the monster truck scene?
You got to just go out and help, man. Go to a show, get in with a couple teams. I was lucky getting in the way I did, but I've seen other people get in a bunch of different ways. But if there's local shows around you, get down to those shows. I mean, MJ, you did it, you know. You can answer this question just as good as I can, basically. You know, it's nothing but a phone call, a text, messaging somebody on Facebook or whatever it may be. And once you get in, once you do get to the show, work your ass off and show that, you know, you can work, you're not scared. And I mean, just stay humble.
That's the best way to do it. I think, yeah, actually the show I worked with you guys, I actually messaged Paul on Facebook and he gave my number to Mike and then I ended up at the show helping.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. And you were good help. You got in or you worked with us and you went and worked for Swanson's. That's what you did right there is exactly what I would recommend anybody to do.
I appreciate that.
That's the best advice you could give. I mean, technology nowadays, it's easy to message a team and reach out to them. And, you know, you'll be surprised, you know, you can help out a team just through, you know, contacting them on Facebook. You know, I know there was not a lot of technology back then, but nowadays Facebook is a great way to reach out to teams. And who knows, you could be helping out a team.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's what I did for my first show I worked at. Was, here, actually, my local fairgrounds. And I think it was Bill Payne's tour. I ended up working with them. It was only a 3-truck field. I think it was Spitfire, Rosalie and Wildflower, and then Donald with Titan. And then Bill brought they brought the tank. But, yeah, it was a small show. But that show was hectic because it wasn't only monster trucks. They had like motocross, and then I think they did like bull riding also. So that wasn't a great show just because of how much back and forth we had to do. But because I learned through that, I ended up helping Jeff and Mike out, and I got to live out my dream. And I'm thankful, and I'm excited to see how far I can go in this, because you know I'm only 19. I got a long ways to go. So I'm excited to see where I can go and how far I can get.
And Chris, let's give you some time to speak. Chris, do you hear us? Chris, you there?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here. And also special thanks to John Borba, Chelsea Kessler of this company, WGAS, for taking a chance on me and agreeing to let me announce for them. This was to have been my fifth year with them. And even though the year basically went in the toilet pretty fast, I remain hopeful that this can be lifted. We can have shows again. And I don't know if I can and I will. Will announce you in the future, whether it's 2021, I don't know, but it will. And then
I think we're losing him.
And in addition,
oh, there he is.
Anyone else watching this podcast, a spectator, I just like to say, if you have a dream in monster trucks, whether it's driving, crewing, announcing, like me, track, whatever, don't quit. And no matter how bad the odds or no matter how people get you down, keep going and ignore the critics and pay attention to those who encourage you. Speak to everyone you possibly can. It's probably going to take years, as it did for me, but it was worth all of it because I'm living my dream by being in the announcer's booth and speaking to a live crowd on a live microphone. So I know things aren't the times right now, but if you work hard, you never quit, and you ignore the critics, whatever your dream is of Monster Trucks, it will come true. I know. I'm proof of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone for having me. So glad to be here. And then, as my signature send off, Monster Trucks forever.
Good old Christopher Allen. Chris, I want to thank you for joining us. You know, that's some great words of advice from Chris. You know, when Chris was in high school, a teacher told him when Chris said that he wanted to be a Monster Truck announcer, the teacher said, Chris, you will never be a Monster Truck announcer. And here he is today. With autism, it's amazing what Chris can do on the mic. And if you ever come out to West Coast shows, Chris is going to be there with WJS. Chris is, you know, it's just astonishing how he is on the mic for sure.
Yeah, well said, man. Well said.
Definitely.
We got a comment here from Corbin, actually. Corbin actually got on the phone. He said, what is your advice to me to make me a better driver?
Assuming that's for Jeff.
Yes, that is for you.
I think with any driver, you know, watch as much as you can, pay attention as much as you can. I'm big into sports, big, you know, an athlete, and so it's just like anything else. You know, you have your mentors and who you look up to, and so I think for Corbin, pay attention, listen. You know, when someone gives you advice, listen to it. You're gonna make half this stuff up as you go, though. But as far as Corbin goes, what I know about Corbin, what I've seen him do, you know what you're doing, dude. Little dude's killing it. Just keep doing your thing. Stay safe. Remember at all times, you know, you got to, number one is safety. Number two, you got to make them fans happy and the promoter happy. And then I guess you kind of got to make your dad happy, so you probably shouldn't roll over too much or do too much damage. Yeah, just stay humble, kid. Just stay positive, stay humble. Give it 100% every time you're in that truck and outside that truck, working on that truck, nut and bolting it. I see Corbin, he's one of those kids that puts a wrench in his hand and he nut and bolts it. Eric's done really good about showing him that stuff, and I think it's great. Dude.
That's awesome. We got another one from Dallas. He wants to know, who's your favorite driver to watch?
Favorite driver to watch? Well, it's going to have to be, you know, guys that live on the edge. You know, I think both Anderson boys are fun to watch. You know, I grew up watching Dennis, obviously. I'm a little bit older. So Dennis used to come to my hometown here. And so I would have to say that on the edge or over the edge, however you want to word it, ragged edge driving style. Anybody that can drive like that, I don't even care what your name is. If you can drive like that and make me get out of my seat, yeah, that's what I like.
Awesome, awesome. We got another one here from a Ryan Frazier. He says, Jeff, do I need to stop planning my run so much before the show? What goes on in that head of yours before you run?
Don't get gelled at by Tony, usually. Ryan races with us on Tony's team. good dude right there. He knows what he's doing. He don't even need to ask me questions. But what goes in my head is I don't plan a whole lot. I used to. When I first started, I'd try to plan every single thing. Then I learned you just got to – I mean, the truck's going to do what it wants to do. Keep it greasy side down, at least till the end, and just give her hell.
Awesome. Corbin also says – he wants to give you a thank. He says, thanks, Jeff. You are one of my heroes.
You're welcome, buddy. Anytime, and I appreciate that.
I got another question here for you. I want to know, you know, pit party, you know, after the show, anything like that. Weirdest fan interaction you've had, you know, whether, like I said, during the pit party, post-show autographs, you know, fan coming up, like, through the fence after when you're tying down the truck. What do you think that would have to be for you?
Hmm. I, you know, you get weird stuff happen. You know, old lady come up, tell you to sign her shirt right here on the front because it's the only place that still has room. getting yelled at, screaming, take it off. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing really stands out. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff. Probably some things I shouldn't talk about. Yeah, I don't really have an answer to that one. Sorry.
No worries.
And I have a question. What is Jeff Souza's biggest moment of his career? I know you've had lots.
I got my chance with Kelvin to do to do Monster Jam. I mean, that was a big deal, you know, growing up watching that. I think watching my son, you know, look up to me in that way and like, dang, Dad, you're a monster truck driver. I remember he got to meet Tom Mintz, and there's a lot of different, I mean, he got to meet a lot of different people now, but like I remember that moment still in Tom's trailer when he got to walk in Tom's trailer, and here I'm like wanting to tell Hunter, hey, Hunter, or I'm telling Tom, hey, Tom, this is my son, Hunter, and Tom pops off. Instead of Tom, like, yeah, look at me, it was, hey, dude, what's up, man? Hey, your dad did good tonight, didn't he? He kicked butt out there or something like that. And that was just, that was cool. I really appreciated that of Tom. And just watching Hunter look up at me like that, you know, and now here it is. Now I'm looking at Hunter, you know, going to be a teammate, and we're going to be doing the same thing. So the whole thing is very, there's days definitely still can't believe it happened. You know, it, hard work does pay off, people. All you kids, hard work pays off. Yeah.
Awesome. Phil, what do you got for Jeff? Any more philosophy? A little play on words there. I had to do that one.
Yeah, kind of pooped out there, but, you know, we talked about how Jeff got involved in monster trucks. Now, the first truck you drove, I'm pretty sure, was the Get Her Done truck for Darren Amiguez. What was that experience like driving the truck for the first time? I know you said that it was just like being a kid in a candy shop, but, you know, what was there just a lot going through your head? You know, were you given specific orders? You know, where was the event? What entailed your debut in monster trucks?
Actually, a lot of people don't know this. My first time driving a truck was the Survivor that Jimmy had, Team Survivor body. Darren's truck was, I think, my third time driving. Team Survivor truck, Don had a flight. When they booked Don's flight, they didn't realize that there was a Sunday show. So Don drove, she did the racing portion of it, and then I did the freestyle. And so I remember we had to thrash to make it to where, and it was it wasn't her truck, it was our Outlaw truck with the driver body on it. So I think we just had to take like the pedal extensions off, if I remember correctly. But nobody even knew I was in the truck, and it was here at home. It was our hometown show. I think it was like my dad and a couple of my, like both my brothers, like my kids, my immediate family was in the stands, knew it was me. Nobody even knew it was me, they didn't announce me. It wasn't about that. I didn't care who knew I was in the truck. I just wanted to feel what it was like to hit something in a truck. And then I did another show the weekend after that. And then I think the show you're talking about in Darren's truck, that was, probably a few months later. Fluke deal. Jimmy got hurt or was in the hospital. I don't remember what the deal was, but
I think you're cutting out on us, Jeff. there you are.
Sorry about that. Anyways, yeah, so it was Team Survivor was the first time. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, nobody even knew about that. So not even you, Phil. Not even you knew that in your little stats.
Only because you told me before. But see, that's why I got all mixed up. I don't know what came first. That's because it's my incognito on me.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know.
You can put that in your little stat book.
Not that we know of.
What's that?
It's a good thing you didn't drive Doomsday, at least not that we know of.
I did not do that. I did not drive that truck, no. I was there, and I got to watch the driver that was driving it do it, drive it, but no, it wasn't me.
Well, who was driving it at the event you're speaking of? Is it something we can talk about?
I'm not saying anything. I don't know if that information has been revealed. I know who I seen driving it, though. when I was 15, yeah, I know who drove that. Yeah, good guy, good driver, great driver. Still driving, great driver.
You're a tough cookie to crack there, Jeff.
Look.
Wonder who it was, though.
Doesn't matter. He's still driving. That's all that matters.
I think, what was that show we did in Santa Maria? That was the first time I actually met Jeff. You know, Jeff wasn't there when I helped Mike and I got, you know, we got the trucks out of the trailer. And I was confused. I didn't know, because I thought, you know, I thought Paul was going to show up or something. But it was just Mike and I. And here comes Jeff in his big old white truck that he's got. Rolls up, you know, me and Mike already got the trucks all tired up and everything. And here comes Jeff. And I forgot what I was doing. He's like, hey, dude, come here. You're going to help me move my pedals back. So that's the first time I worked with Jeff, was in Santa Maria working on Kamikaze when I had moved the pedals back for him. And great memories. I think that second show, last show of the weekend, and I was, you know, Jeff and Mike went up to sign autographs, and I was tiring down the trucks. I don't think Jeff remembers this or not, but last tire in the truck, one of the back corners, and pulled the last lug nut off. Tire shifted and bonked me right on the head, and got a beadlock straight to the forehead.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it hurt at first, but you know, it wasn't too bad. It was bearable.
Moral of the story: watch your head when you're taking off them tires.
I had my hand on it too.
Had the truck too high in the air, then.
Probably. Well, I know you parked it on a slope. We're right on the bank right before it started banking.
You think at the end of that show that's what I was worried about, was where I parked that truck?
Not at all.
Be glad that.
I think what is
truck.
Okay, yeah. Speaking on rookie mistakes, Jeff, do you have any big rookie mistakes you can talk about?
When I blew the motor in Detour, I drove that truck damn near halfway around Angel Stadium, and I just parked it right in the pits. Kelvin was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I still had oil pressure. It still was running. I was ready to go again. That was kind of a dumb moment. I don't know. I like to think I don't screw up that much. I know Tony could probably give you guys a few. Time I rolled in Turlock, that was pretty dumb. That was my fault. Tony's still pissed about that one, I think. Yeah. Shit happens, man. It's monster trucks.
What do you got to explain that one in Puyallup, Washington? Clipped the tire. Enforcer just went over.
Oh, so stupid. 9 trucks, top 8 make it, or top 8 go to racing, you know. We did a qualifying. I was the first one to go, and I clipped the tire right out of the gate. So the rest of the trucks had to make a lap. It didn't even matter anymore because I was already out since I didn't finish. That was the first time I rolled that truck, and I don't remember Tony getting too mad about that. It was just dumb air, driver air. Just, I was excited.
We didn't have to bring that one up, MJ.
Hey, I had to. We're talking about mistakes. It happens. It happens to the best of them.
Well, since you have so much bad moments from Jeff, I'm going to put you on the spot. What are some good moments you have from Jeff?
The first time, like I said, the first time I met Jeff was in Santa Maria. First memory I have was me helping him move the pedals on Kamikaze, and then he went out and got Mike and I in and out. That was. Lunch, we got lunch, and then I just remember, you know, that was only my second show working. I was like so excited, you know, to be there. You know, Jeff gave him hell. I know Throttle Monster, I think they took every event at those two shows for those both of those days. But that first show was horrible. I think it was, I believe, a 6 truck lineup, and only Mike and Jeff's truck were the only ones like running, because you know Rick, Eric, they grenaded output shafts. Craig did the backflip, destroyed the rear end on that truck, and then I think Corey went on the backside of a jammer car stack, landed, snapped the champagne, lost a tire. So at the end of the night, I think it was only Jeff and Mike running. So you know, the first time I met Jeff, and I got nothing to say about good. I got nothing bad to say about Jeff. You know, great guy. I look up to Jeff. I'm just excited. You know, hopefully someday I get to work again with Jeff at a show somewhere. But yeah, great guy. Nothing bad to say about Jeff.
I don't know who remembers more, Phil or you.
the more right there, though, with all the mother trucks breaking, I mean, it happens. It doesn't mean anything about maintenance, you know, that they do or do not. Well, I mean, they don't, but I know those teams, they do maintain their trucks. And I got to tip my hat to Mike. I mean, both those trucks, Vendetta and Kamikaze, I mean, Mike goes through them and he takes care of them. I've been fortunate enough. I've done, I don't know, 8-10 shows with those guys in the last year or something like that. 8 weekends, something like that. And I mean, every time I get there, Mike usually already has the truck tired up. It's ready to go. I'm babied and spoiled. I get to fly in most of the time or whether I'm driving there. Maintenance. And Mike is on it with that team. I'm very lucky with that. Same thing goes with Tony. When I'm driving for Tony, I don't get to go to his house very often and help work on the truck because it's a couple hours away. Like I said, you got to work hard to get into this, but man, I've definitely had some luck and lucky enough to race for a couple of great teams and great people.
What about you, Vince? What are your good memories with Mr. Jeff Souza?
You know, I've done a couple of shows with Jeff. I remember seeing him at the Maricopa County Fair. You know, Jeff, I think he swept the whole show, if I recall, an enforcer. You know, it's always nice having Jeff out there. And, you know, these local shows, it's just like a big family. And, you know, talking about Christopher's mom always comes out when it's locally, makes us, you know, some of the best dinner. So shout out to Chris's mom. Jeff knows, you know, Jeff knows how good Chris's mom is as a cook. Dude, you know,
brought that up. Yeah, the last time we were down there, she made some kind of pasta. I don't even know what she called it. It was like Carol's or something. I don't know what it was, but it was awesome. I love that family. That family is my Phoenix family. Good people. Yeah, I totally forgot about the cooking. You're right about that one. She nailed it.
Yeah, I probably ate the most out of everyone. So sorry, I ate all the cookies. So my apologies on that one. But you know. Great cook, and it's always nice when you have those Maricopa shows because it's just like a big family. Everyone treats you, you know, the same, and I love those shows. And it's probably, you know, another good memory was the state fair. That was, you know, the first time, you know, helping you out a little bit at the state fair and then adjusting your pedals and the seat, kind of like what MJ had to do. Seems like you're doing that a lot.
Yeah, I'm Kamikaze. I can reach not that well, so we bring the pedals back to me one notch. It's no big deal. Paul's like 6'7" or whatever, so he's a big dude. That fits me good, though.
For sure. I feel like you drive a lot harder when you're in Kamikaze. I mean, that truck, it's a state-of-the-art piece. It lands, looks like it lands really nice, and every time I see it on the track, that truck is sent.
Yeah, first time I met Paul, obviously Mike and I have been friends for, I don't know, 10 years on each other. And Mike's like a brother from another mother. First time I met Paul a year and a half ago, something like that, they came out the coast. And so I had to run against Paul and try to keep up with Paul. And I just remember thinking, damn, this dude runs the crap out of this truck. I want to drive that truck. He's hard. And then, yeah, when I got my opportunity, I mean, that's just how that truck wants to be driven. I mean, run her hard. And so one on the right, push it down. And a very forgiving truck, very, very fun truck, very fast truck. It's a racing truck. I love to race. Freestyle is fun, but I love to race. And that truck is a good racing truck.
Speaking about that, you know, when you're driving Enforcer or even Iron Outlaw, you know, Kamikaze, what is your favorite move to do in a truck, whether it be a sky wheelie, slap wheelie, you know, moonwalk? What would that be?
I love being in the air. I love big air. That's why I like the big stadiums. Like if, you know, I get to go to Oakland or something like that, a stadium, excuse me, where we can figure it out. Actually down there in Phoenix, your guys' fair. I mean, that's a good little venue right there where we can actually get some air and have enough shutdown time or, you know, fix it time, correct it time. So yeah, for me, it's hitting something wide open or pretty close to it.
For sure. MJ, you got any questions, any fan questions or personal questions you have for Jeff?
From Cameron Miguez, he said, I think, help me get Outlaw back together after a horrible backflop at his shop. Kind of piece that one together. You want to tell us about that one, Jeff?
I think, trying to think how that went. I remember, well, Outlaw's been in my shop and been torn apart quite a few times. I mean, where frames bit and stuff like that. I remember we welded on it that time. I remember scabbing pieces together, trying to make it work. I mean, that's been some years now. I don't remember that. I don't remember exactly what we had to do, but Cam's been here quite a few times. And he's always a good time too. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of guys you can learn a lot from. I wish I knew how stuff that guy forgot. Cam's that guy. Cam just knows a lot about monster trucks. You that don't know Cam, I mean, Cam, you know, he's losing his eyesight and I hate it. I feel bad. I wish I could see Cam drive someday. Doesn't matter. That dude will still outwork anybody else around. And that's why he was Tech of the Year in 15. And he probably should have got it prior to that and after that. I just don't think they like gave him that award more than once, or he probably would have got it.
Speaking about Cam, you know, shout out to MonsterCast. There's a lot of Monster podcasts going on right now. We got the Crush This podcast, MonsterCast. Shout out to those guys. You know, it keeps us rolling. And, you know, it's probably, you know, big motivation for me watching Crush This and MonsterCast. So shout out to Cameron and Mason from MonsterCast. They're doing a great job. What was that, Jeff?
To Cameron and Usher.
But now this is going to be the rapid fire section of the podcast. Me and MJ are going to trade off questions for you on the top of our head to get to know Jeff Souza a little bit better. I'm going to start it off. Jeff, when you're on the road, you know, we're going to the fairgrounds. What is your go-to fairground snack?
I don't really eat that much before the shows. Kind of like that. Did the same thing. And when I played hockey and baseball, I'm very particular about what I eat. It'd be something simple, a sandwich or something like that. I don't, or In-N-Out or something like that. I'm not going to eat anything real greasy. I don't need any problems. I don't need any issues.
All right. Going off of that, does Jeff Souza have any pre-show rituals to get ready for the show to hype you up possibly?
I play the same song in my head every time before I go, and I do my belt a certain way, left, right, and it has to be a certain way. Other than that, I don't wear the same underwear. I change my underwear and all that other stuff, shower before the shows. But, yeah, my seat belts and the same song goes on in my head every time. Sounds dumb, but it is what it is.
So what do you do, you know, when you're not in a truck? I know you have your own tile business and all that, but what do you do, you know, kind of like what we're doing now? We're all in quarantine, we're all staying home. What do you do when you're in times like this, when you're not behind the wheel of a truck? So
I'm going crazy. That's what I'm doing. I have my construction company, which keeps us busy. I wish we could go to the dunes. We can't even go to the dunes right now because they're shut down. That could give me some trawl therapy. I'm not really a big sit down, watch TV. I want to be out doing stuff. I miss my 20 to 25 weekends a year that I'm gone racing on the weekends and stuff. I miss it. I'm going crazy.
As we all are.
You know, some people might not know how long you've been doing this, but how long has Jeff Souza been in the business and in the industry?
It was 2011, I believe. Oh my God.
Any last comments from the one and only Phil with the philosophy?
No, it's just been a great time here, first episode. I can't think of a better guest than Jeff Souza. Like I said, he's one of the more underrated drivers that's out there in the business. I mean, we see how great he is on the West Coast when the events are rolling. But any chance anybody gets to see Jeff compete, it's definitely worth every dollar that you spend to be out at the events. And it's always a great time when Jeff's in town.
I appreciate that, Phil.
You know, and I think one of Jeff's big moments, in my opinion, where it really put the spotlight on him was Oakland when it aired on TV. I remember seeing that and, you know, seeing Jeff drive, you know, Iron Outlaw. That was awesome to see. And it really, you know, your driving really impressed me in that truck at that night. It was a, you know, great show for you. And I'd probably have to say that's probably my favorite Jeff Souza moment right now. What about you, MJ?
Ooh, my favorite Jeff Souza moment. it wouldn't be in the truck. It'd be probably pre-show. Once you get, you know, trucks nut and bolted, we're just hanging out in the hauler. First time I heard him do his Tony Canedo impression, I think I was just about in tears.
I was waiting for this. I was waiting for this.
I was honestly probably just about in tears sitting in the holler.
Yeah, in the trailer, those yammers.
Just sitting there.
Yeah, in those yammers.
Yeah, that's a good time right there. Like I said, that's I love doing this. I love being behind the wheel. I love driving. Hanging out with everybody. Man, when I was in my 20s, I worked a lot. I didn't get to do, you know, I have family and work. So getting out and doing things like this, it's really fun to me. And whether it's the younger kids watching, you know, younger kids in these minis coming up or a lot of the old timers, I mean, I've got to hang out with, I don't know if there's anybody I haven't got to meet yet in Monsters that, you know, that I looked up to back in the day or even as of right now. Before the show, a little bit, I don't know, I think I kind of try to keep my game face on. After the show, yeah, definitely. It's that Jeff Suze is a different Jeff Suze than what you guys will see, you know, any other time, only because it's I'm having fun and yeah, fun and Tony and I have a lot of fun driving down the road. Hell, I have more fun going to the show or going home from the show than we do while we're out there. And yeah, so we might have an accent, might call me Jeff and don't break out the truck, but love that guy to death. That guy's got a heart bigger than most people.
Awesome.
Now, do you have any on-the-road stories that you can share, or no?
Well,
you're gonna have to think about this one.
No. There's one thing, Tony. When I'm on the road, that's when I'm driving for Tony, usually we go to the shows together for the most part, especially, you know, if we're going down to Phoenix or whatever, we're switching off driving the rig. And my favorite thing with Tony is when he's driving, those of you who don't know, Tony's missing his right eye. So if you can think about someone driving and they need to look at you when they're in the driver's seat, they got to turn their whole head over. Well, Tony at 55 or whatever he hasn't figured out how to not make the wheel turn when his head. So when we're going down the road, I almost screw with him sometimes just to get look at me as he turns, because he'll turn everything all at the same time. So it's got to be there for the moment. I think Chase has been with us and seen that moment, but it's funny. And I have a lot of fun with Tony driving on the road. When I drive for Mike and Paul, usually I'm flying in. I try to have fun making fun of people in the airports and on the airplanes and stuff. That.
For sure. The first time I heard Jeff do his Tony impression, I was just about on the floor. Or I also found out that Craig Christensen also has a really good Jim Creighton impression. That was awesome hanging out in his hauler. I think the afternoon before the second show, his truck wasn't running that night because, you know, they did the backflip. They I think just destroyed the rear end, destroyed three four link bars. Bent a shock shaft, bent a shock mount on the truck itself. So that truck wasn't doing anything that show. It's been awesome. You know, I've had an awesome ride so far through the monster truck industry, and I'm excited to see where I get to end up, and I'm excited to see, you know, where you, Jeff, you get to end up, you know, maybe in a different truck one day, or, you know, still burning it down in the trucks you're in right now. Vincent, I'm excited for you. You know, you're still a little, you're still younger than, most of us, but I'm excited to see where you end up. I got, you know, you're gonna go far, dude. I got faith in you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Really means a lot hearing it from you, and I'm really excited for the future as well. You know, it's a bummer that, you know, this whole coronavirus had to, you know, shut everything down, but you know what happens, and we have this podcast. You know, for the viewers watching, this is for the West Coast. So I figured it'd be awesome. And how this whole podcast started was, I have a lot of friends on the East Coast, and, you know, I like to talk about, you know, the West Coast drivers, the Jeff Suzes, the Rod Woods. You know, not a lot of people, there's a lot of hidden gems on the West Coast no one knows about. And this podcast was made, you know, to put the spotlight on, you know, the Jeff Suzes, the Rod Woods, lots of talent out here in the West. And that's pretty much why we made the podcast. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun when this whole thing gets back and up and rolling. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got for now. I think we have another comment. I'll let you read this one, MJ.
One from Kelly. She says, My daughter's favorite moment with Jeff, we were doing a show in Indio, and he was sewing the crotch back together in his driving suit. LOL.
Oh, man. That happens about 3 times a year, probably. Yes, I can sew. I don't do it good, obviously. I think I'm just going to start zip tying it back together. It always happens in Enforcer because that truck sits so high. So I get out or get in a hurry, and next thing you know, I rip my britches. And thank God I usually wear underwear unless it's real hot. So, yeah.
Now, for the viewers watching, if you haven't liked the podcast, you know, it means a lot if you guys share and like. You know, we need all the support we can get it, you know, right now, because we want people to, you know, watch our podcast. And we actually have a special announcement coming up towards the end of this episode. So stick around, because we're going to be revealing our next guest.
For sure.
Jeff, I have a question for you. You know, as a driver, who would you want to see come on the podcast?
I think what you guys are doing is good, man. West Coast. There is a lot of good West Coast drivers. And I mean, you can take it back east too. It doesn't just have to be West Coast. I think once you guys get going, but I think bringing them kids on is going to be a good time. I think bringing the up and coming, the talent, you know, you know, little Corbin and Mason. Yeah, I think bringing the kids on, hearing what they have to say, be cool.
Yeah, we may or may not have something in the works with getting the mini monsters on. So I know that might be a future episode. Who knows? But yeah, you know, talking about the up and coming, your son, Hunter, you know, I remember watching the Tucson show, and all I got to say is that kid can drive. You know, I saw the onboard footage of Hunter, and he can really work the wheel.
Yeah, he did great. Like I said, I drove that truck, you know, as you know, a few weeks later in Phoenix when I blew the motor up in Cami, and that truck was not an easy truck to drive. It was a handful. And so, like I said, once I drove that truck, I thought, damn, Hunter, you did really good. Even Mike, I remember he raced Mike in the finals, and he got back. Mike beat him, and he got back. Mike went and got interviewed, and Mike came walking up to me, and Mike yells at me and says, "Where the hell's your damn kid?" And I'm like, "Why?" And I already told Hunter, go get more fuel, you know, add some ethanol, and for freestyle. And he says, "Well, I don't remember the exact word. I probably shouldn't repeat it, but it was probably something like that. Little bastard almost beat me," or something like that. I mean, yeah, the kid, he can just drive, and he's very coachable. He listens. I mean, I you know, I hope that he does get to maybe do some stuff, you know, go to Monster Jam University or something like that and play around out there. Get to listen to guys like Tom and stuff. I think that would be great, because I know that he'll suck it up like a sponge.
Oh, for sure. And talking about wrecking machine, we just got a brand new wrecking machine made. What are your thoughts on that truck compared to the old one that Hunter ran?
Oh, well, the new truck is a lot like Cami is, like Kamikaze is. So he's really going to have some fun that truck. I was hoping that I'd get to wad it up first before him in Santa Clara. I may or may not have been told to. Word might have been something like, "I don't care if that truck ends up in a body bag." So we had big plans for Santa Clara, and I'm bummed that it didn't work out. But this new truck, it's going to be so pretty, you ain't going to want to see it roll over. Put it that way.
I'm definitely excited for it. You know, I'm really, you know, bummed we couldn't see you in Santa Clara, because, you know, when Jeff Sousa is in Monster Jam, you better be watching, because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, I kind of want it to be that way no matter where we're at, whether we're, you know, whether it's Monster Jam or it's a local show, anywhere. I don't care, you know, if there's 3,000 people in the stands, 300 people in the stands, 30,000 people, regardless how many people are in those stands, you know, if they're half full, quarter full, those people still paid the same price as it would, you know, they would have even if it was filled up. So, I mean, we got to go put on a show. Like I said earlier, safety is always number one. Putting on a show for those fans is number two for me, you know, with safety being number one. And then obviously the promoter and the owner of the truck. But I love seeing, you know, little kids afterward and stuff like that. I actually enjoy signing autographs and hearing what the little kids have to say, hearing what everybody has to say. You know, even you guys. I mean, critics like Phil. Phil talks. I'm going to listen. He's been around this a long time. He's seen a lot of stuff. He knows everybody, you know. So, yeah.
You know, I want to thank everyone coming on for the first episode. I appreciate, Jeff, you taking your time out of the day to come on with us. It's been a great time. I think this was, you know, a pretty killer first episode. And for the viewers, you know, you can we're going to be on every Friday night. So, you know, just try to make some time out of your day on Fridays to check us out. We have a lot of guests coming on. We're going to reveal our next guest here shortly. But MJ and Phil, do you have any closing words? We'll start it off with MJ.
I just want to say thank you. You know, this was awesome inaugural episode. I can't thank Jeff for coming on, taking time out of his day. You know, all the viewers, you know, we've had a steady amount of viewers this whole time. Very good comments and questions. So I'm excited to see where this goes. Yeah. Just thanks, Jeff, for coming on and being the first guest. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's always great to get the ball rolling here. It's the first episode. As you see, the sun's kind of calmed down behind me, and that means it's time to wrap it up here. It's always a pleasure talking to Jeff. It's always great to see him at the events, and I can't wait to see him run again and keep this podcast rolling.
Jeff, do you have anything else to say to the viewers watching? Where they can see you next in the Monstric world, and any closing words?
I don't know where anybody can see us next. Who knows? I know we've got some stuff scheduled. Actually, hometown, I think, is end of September, beginning of October, something like that. But I appreciate everybody that comes out and watches us. You know, like I said, we see all walks of life at these shows, and we appreciate it. And I appreciate the people that have given me opportunity to get to do what I get to do, you know, and continue to give me opportunities. And now giving Hunter opportunities as well with Mike and Paul. I really appreciate it. So you guys are doing a great job. I think more to come for you guys, definitely. You know, stay positive. Keep going. Showing up to the shows, wrenching, doing what you're doing. Before you know it, you'll be upside down trying to figure out what comes first, taking off the steering wheel or undoing the straps on your seatbelts.
Good closing words. And with that being said, let's get a little preview on our next guest to close out the episode. You saw it right there. We're bringing on Dallas Glenn Rogers tomorrow night. Yes, you heard it night. Heard it right. For one time only, one only Saturday night episode, we're going to be bringing on Dallas Glenn Rogers. A little background on Dallas. You know, Dallas, he's been working for Bill Payne for a very long time, and we're excited to have him on. And we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Pacific time. It's going to be a little later for the East Coast, but, you know, Dallas Glenn Rogers coming on tomorrow night. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya.